We're there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. The Bible says, "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Lord, just come to you asking you to help me, Lord. God, I need you. I need your help. I need you to cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be close to you, Lord. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I desire to be filled with your Spirit. And I pray that each person here desires to be filled with your Spirit, Lord, that we would be wholly yielded to you, willing to do what you want us to do, what you lead us to do. But we can't do that, Lord, if we're filled with self. And I pray you to remove ourselves. Fill us with you. That we would listen and obey you. We just left Thanksgiving, season of Thanksgiving. Now we move to Christmas. Concentrating on you, Lord, the greatest gift that's ever been given. You came to purchase our salvation and offer us eternal life for free. God, I pray you'd help us to give ourselves to you. To be like Paul and die daily. Help each of us to do that. Help me do that. Lord, as I preach your word now, I just pray you'd help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're looking here and we're looking at really what it means to be a disciple. This here coming into the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We started it from what it means to be a disciple, and we were looking at what it means to be a disciple, and then we came to this passage, and really it is essentially what God expects of his disciples, what God expects of us, what God wants from us. And as we come to this part right here, God expects us to keep our word. God expects that from each of us, especially as his disciples, as followers of Christ. We should keep our word above all others. Disciples of Christ, Christians, should be known for the fact that they keep their word. That when we say something, that's what it's going to be. You know, it seems as though people have always been unreliable. Romans 3, 4 says, "Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." That's throughout time been kind of the norm. The standard is that, you can't fully rely on people. You know, we make a big deal about, 50, 60 years ago, you could shake on a deal, and just a man's word was his bond, and you could count on that, but not so anymore. And so we think that it used to be like that 50, 60 years ago. It's never been like that, really. There've always been people with integrity that you could rely on mainly, and you could take their word for it. But for the most part, it's never really been that way. We like to think back to a time in America when it was like that, but it's never been like that. There's always been crooks. There's always been undependable people, people you can't rely on. Proverbs 23:10 says, "Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless." Why? Because people are not trustworthy. You can't depend on them. The old landmark would be something you would set in place. You'd set it there, and this would be the boundary for the property. The property line would be here at this ancient landmark, and they'd set it there, and that was his, and this was mine. And what it was saying was, hey, don't be a thief. Remove not the ancient landmark. What would happen is they'd come along. This guy that lives on this side, he'd come along, and he'd say like this. He'd start moving that old landmark that set the property line. And he just keeps slowly just pushing it on along. So now he's got a bigger portion. He just stole that. God said that because people aren't trustworthy. And it's always been that way. That's always how things have been. It's never not been like that. Man, for the most part, has always been unreliable, but God expects more from us as his disciples. God expects us to go to a higher level. He always expects more of his people. Look, a lost person can get away with something that you as a Christian will not get away with. You can do the exact same thing that a lost person will do, and you'll get caught and they won't. Because God expects more from you. God holds you to a higher standard. You say, that's not fair. But look at all the blessings you get. It is fair. Amen. That's right. Talking about God's justice. Amen. It is fair. What we need to do is break out of the mold and be different for Christ's sake. The mold is, hey, your word really doesn't mean anything. We talk a lot about our word, you know, how we want people to be people of integrity and keep their word and things like that. But yet we don't keep our word all the time. And we just kind of brush it off and it's not a big deal. But we need to break out of that mold and not be like that. And if we say something, we mean it and we're going to do it. We're going to perform it. As it said right there, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. If you say yes, then that's what it means. If you say no, then that's what it means, unless you're providentially hindered, unless something happens where you just can't do it. But so many times, even God's people are characterized by no character, no integrity. They say something and don't do it. And it speaks volumes of their character, who they are on the inside. Your character has been defined like this, what you do when nobody's looking. What do you do when no one's looking? Ouch, that's convicting, isn't it? What are you thinking that nobody knows about? What are you doing when no one's around, when the boss isn't there? Are you working still or are you stealing from him? See, people of our word. The call to discipleship is a call to be different. That means we're going to have to do the hard things. Stuff the average person won't do, and sadly, many professing Christians won't do. The hard things. That's what God has called us to. He told us that we're to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. That means the hard things. Deny myself. Man, does anybody like denying themselves? You ever like telling yourself no? I mean, who likes donuts in here? Hey, man, I like donuts. All right? The place I'm working at now, the boss, it seems like every week, sometimes even twice a week, he'll bring donuts. And I'm like, man, and they just sit there on the table. And I'm like, I could eat that whole thing probably. But I just get one. I probably shouldn't even get one. But I do. And you have to deny yourself. You got to tell yourself no. And that's just a silly example. I mean, there's like serious matters we need to deny ourselves in. Where we would maybe stay up and pray, wake up early and pray, read our Bible, things like that, things that are much more important than just not eating a donut or something like that. But as disciples, we're going to be different. We should be different. And that means we have to do the hard things. But God expects and even commands us to keep our word. That means when it puts us in a bind sometimes, we have to still keep our word. Because that's your name. Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than silver and gold. A good name. Have you ever known someone with a bad name? You know, a bad reputation? Was your a girl or something? Sometimes girls can get a bad reputation because they're with a lot of guys. And it's just ill things are thought of her, maybe true or not, but her name is dragged through the mud because of her reputation. See, we want a good name. We want people to say good of us. Not that we're trying to get the commendation of men, but because our testimony matters. When we share the gospel with someone, our testimony means something. It's not like when Lot went and talked to his sons-in-law and they laughed at him because he was a joke. His testimony didn't matter. It's funny to me that it's not funny, it's sad really, but some Christians that they don't live the life that a Christian should live, and then they'll go and lecture somebody, oh, you shouldn't do that. And that person's looking at them thinking, and maybe many times they'll even tell them something. They'll be like, who are you to talk? I just know last week you were doing this. What are you doing telling me? You have no business telling me about anything I do because look at what you just did. What do we do with that? See, that's us being different, breaking out of the mold, having a godly testimony. When we don't have a godly testimony, when our testimony doesn't match what we're saying, you know what we're known as? A hypocrite. A hypocrite. Let's make them both match. Let's make when we say something, we mean it, come up to where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be. Jesus starts off as he goes through this by stating what these Jews had grown up hearing, and he enlarges on it. In the Old Testament, it asked people to not swear falsely, but to keep their word. Verse 33, again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. So that's what the Old Testament said. I think it's Leviticus 19:23, I want to say, and then Deuteronomy, I forgot where it was, where he's mentioning this right here. But he said, look, it's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. That word forswear means to swear falsely or to perjure yourself, to bear false witness, to forswear thyself. He says, hey, don't swear falsely, but perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So he's implying here that many people would say they were going to do something knowing full well they weren't going to do it. Oh, I'll be there. Having no intention of being there. None. I mean, how easy is it? It's so easy to do that to people, isn't it? You know, someone asks you hey, are you going to be able to come over to our house? We're having this get together, whatever it is. And it's easy to say, oh, yeah, we'll be there. And you're like, we are not going to that thing. Isn't that just so easy to do? That's so easy to do. But what does that say about us? What does that tell that person about us? Once, it's not a big deal. But when that's a continual habit of your life and the way you do things, that's your testimony. People know you, yeah, don't believe them. Man. Heard the story of the boy that cried wolf, right? Everybody heard that story? Yeah, when he really needed it, it didn't mean anything. They said, forget him. And there was a wolf. Why? Because he was as it says right here, he forswore himself. He swore falsely. He perjured himself. He was lying. He was bearing false witness. Albert Barnes said this regarding an oath. He said, an oath is a solemn affirmation or declaration made with an appeal to God for the truth of what is affirmed. So it's more than just an affirmation. It has an appeal to God for the truth of what is affirmed, and imprecating his vengeance and renouncing his favor if what is affirmed is false. So it's saying basically, God, bring your vengeance on me if I don't do what I said I'm going to do. That's what you're saying when you swear an oath. You're saying, God, if I don't do this, then your vengeance can fall on me. A false oath is called perjury, or as in this place, forswearing. So that's what it's talking about. So what he's speaking of right here is regarding perjury or breaking the ninth commandment. What's the ninth commandment? Who knows? That's right. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay, that's a crime. It's still a crime in this country to perjure yourself. What is it to bear false witness? You go up and what do they make them do before they give their testimony? They still, as far as I know, lay their hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, right? Isn't that what they say? That's an oath. So if they lie, it's called perjury. They're bearing false witness. Why is that a crime? Who knows? Why would that be a crime? You're at a trial. You're going to bear witness against this person for a crime they did, and you lie. Why would that be a crime? That's right. It's easier. Let's put ourselves in that situation. Say a false accusation was made against you, that you did some heinous crime, and it's not true. And you're there on trial, And now somebody comes and bears false witness and said, oh, I saw them commit that crime. And you're like, I wasn't even there. I was nowhere near there. You'd see it a little different. You'd say, that person's lying. They should be thrown in jail for that. They're gonna take me, rob me of my liberty. I'm gonna have to go to jail. They're lying. See, it's a crime. It's false. And that's why it's illegal. That's why it's a crime, because it's perjury. It's breaking the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But it says right here that thou shalt not forswear thyself. Don't bear false witness. Don't be a perjurer. But perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Keep your word. Bible says you're a fool to vow something and not keep your word. Ecclesiastes 5:4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. It says, if you vow a vow to God, you better pay it. You better keep your word, is what he's saying. Get this, for he hath no pleasure in fools. What? So if you lie, if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, God says you're a fool and he has no pleasure in you. Man. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. We've all been there. We've all been there. But that shouldn't characterize our life. God help us not to be like that. Forgive us when we've been like that, God. Forgive us when we've been that fool. Because you had no pleasure in us, God. Help us to keep our word. Our word is who we are and speaks of our character. By the way, your word keeps speaking after you leave. You know, I've seen something that's sadly too common to me, especially when the housing bubble burst. You know, when was that? Like 06, 07, maybe 08. I forget exactly when it was. It was a few years ago now. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it was. I guess it was about 8 years ago when all that went down. And, you know, I know a lot of Christians that just let a house go. They said, oh, well, just let the bank take it. How do you square that with the Bible? When you got things like this where it says, hey, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Verse 33, thou shalt not forswear thyself. So swear falsely, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. That's an oath you made. You signed on the contract saying, I'm going to pay this thing. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Hey, pay it. For he, God, hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Pay it. But a bunch of Christians defaulted on mortgages. Look, if you lose your job and you can't pay it, that's different than just saying, I'm just let it go. You know, I had people that had two houses and they said, I'm just letting that one go. There's a big difference in that versus I'm struggling, I'm trying, I'm paying, we can't pay our mortgage and we lose our house. That's different than just deciding, I just let it go. God says you're a fool. He has no pleasure in you. We need to keep our word. God's integrity is at stake if we can't depend on his word. Think about that. What do you think of someone that doesn't keep their word? I mean, seriously, think maybe somebody you know or someone you've known in the past that they tell you something and you're just like, yeah, don't believe them. Now they're lying. I mean, what have you thought of that person? Do you think highly of them? Would you trust them if you needed them in a certain situation? If I'm depending on you for this, they're going to be there and they're not there. And after a few times, you're like, I can't count on them for anything. I can't even count on them for small things because they've proven themselves false so many times. You think very little of them. That's why it's so important that we have God's word, because his integrity is at stake, who he is. If we don't have it, then he's a liar. And we can't trust any of it. Very important. We expect God to keep his word. Do we? Christ takes it a step further, though. He says his disciples should refrain from swearing at all. He says, look, in the old time, it says, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. He said, don't swear at all. God expects a disciple to go farther. Don't be content with the world's standard of trustworthiness, which really is no standard. If it suits them, they're okay to lie. If it suits them, they don't have to keep their word. That's what the world does. That's what the lost world does. They talk about integrity and all this stuff, and you know, we just came through the political season, and what a mess that was. I'm so glad that's behind us. But we just come through there, and the politicians always have, oh, I'm a man of integrity. You can count on me. And none of them keep their word. Why should I believe you? You never keep your word. It's never been trustworthy. So don't be content with the world's standard of trustworthiness. Keep your word even if it means you're going to lose your job or something like that. Your character's at stake. See, we don't do things like that because we don't trust God. And Brother Jordan just talked about it. He says, hey, a lesson in faith. Not easy. Do we have integrity, though? We have to make decisions. Am I going to, you know, stand where I'm supposed to stand? I remember at one job I had, they told me, hey, if the media is asking you about this, don't tell them. Tell them this. And they wanted me to lie. I stood there. Every employee's there. We're all standing there. And I looked at him and I said, I am not going to lie for you. And he had to start backing up and said, well, I'm not asking any of you to lie. I was like, yes, you are. You just asked us to lie. We have to make those decisions. What are we going to do? What will we do when it comes down to it? All of us have to decide that. Don't be content with the world's standards. Just because lost men don't keep their word definitely doesn't give us reason to be dishonest. And that's what it is. You're being dishonest if you tell someone, yes, I'm going to do this, and you don't do it. That's all it is. We don't pay our bills. We said, yes, I'm going to pay this, and you don't do it. You're being dishonest. Let your yay be yay and your nay, nay. You're destroying your own testimony. You say, I want to see my family saved, but you're destroying the opportunity to witness to them when you don't keep your word. You're destroying it. You're harming them from getting saved from a weak testimony. They're watching it. They're watching you. They're expecting more from you because you say you're a Christian. We're harming ourselves, harming them. We don't have the authority to swear by heaven. Verse 34 says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. We have no authority to do that. It doesn't belong to us. Matthew 23:22 says, and he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. So if we say, I swear by heaven, we're swearing by him that sitteth thereon. Well, who sits on the throne in heaven? God. We're saying, I swear to God. That's what we're saying. Again, asking his vengeance to come down on us. Jesus said, hey, don't swear at all. Just let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. That's what we're to do. Don't swear at all. Because if we do, if we swear by heaven, we're swearing by God, him that sits on the throne of God. God is not a pawn we get to beckon to our needs when we feel like it. We can't just call him and say whatever we want to him. This type of swearing by heaven, swearing by God shows a great irreverence for who God is, and it's a mockery of him. That we can really, we have the authority to do that? We have the authority to swear by heaven? Does it belong to me or something? Is it in my back pocket? We have no such right to do something like that. It's irreverent towards God. And in our society today, even in Christianity, the modern day Christianity has lost all reverence for God. All standards of holiness have been just done away with. We have no fear of God anymore. Most people in America, many Christians, have lost their fear of God. They have no fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, remember, what did Ecclesiastes, what was it, 5:4? When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. In fools. We're a fool. We're the opposite of wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we're a fool if we don't fear him. We're irreverent towards him. We want to swear by heaven. We don't keep our word. It's foolish. We don't have the ownership to swear by the earth. Next verse says, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. We're wagering with something that doesn't even belong to us. Again, same thing here. We don't have heaven. We've never even seen heaven. And we want to say we can swear by heaven. Say, God, your vengeance fall on me if I don't keep my word. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. You sure you want God's vengeance on you? Why don't you just let your yea be yea and your nay, nay? Amen? That's what we should do. Just when I say it, that's what I mean. And you're going to see it come through. And by God's grace, God, help me keep my word. Give me the strength to keep my word, Lord. If we fail in our vow, we're essentially asking for God's vengeance to fall on us. We don't have the power to change things that only God controls. Verse 36, neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. And I can't determine that. Some of you ladies are like, I can change the hair color. No, you can't change it from the roots out. You can't change it from the roots out. I can't make more hair come on my head. I don't have a 4 head. I got a 5 head. Working on a 6 head. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I can't make more hair come. We don't have the power to do that. To swear by the head was the same as to swear by the life. Or to say, I will forfeit my life if what I say is not true. Look, if our yes is yes and our no is no, we don't need to make an oath like that. There's no need for it. Because people know our word means something. Because we've built that testimony. Maybe you're in this spot and you've ruined your testimony and people can't depend on you at all. Okay, you can't change that in the past, but you can for tomorrow. Just start being trustworthy. Start keeping your word. And build that trust up again. Build that faith. That's how our faith in God is built. Because we say, I don't know about this God. And God comes through in a great way and helps us. And we say, oh, you were there. Just like you said you'd be, you were there. And it builds our faith. It builds our trust in Him. And He's never let us down. He's always been. I mean, every day since I've been alive, the sun has risen. Amen. Every year I've been alive, I've had 4 seasons. Amen. I know some people, depends on where you live, they only have 2. It's like cold and hot. And I like New Mexico. We got all 4 seasons here, a good dose of each season. I like it. But since I've been alive, we've had those. God's trustworthy. Every time I go like this, there's air there. Every time. Because God's trustworthy. He says He's going to provide for us. He's going to take care of us. And He does it. So He just keeps building on that. So if we've messed up in this area, maybe people don't trust us. People don't think we're dependable. Just fix it. Just start doing right. That's it. Just take the next step and start keeping your word. And people say, hey, something changed there. Amen. That's good. When we take a vow like this that swear by our head or by our life, we're basically wagering our life, which only belongs to God. God's the decider of that. God decides when our days are numbered. And that's to assume power that only belongs to God. 1 Samuel 2:6 says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. It's up to God, not us. We can't decide by making some foolish vow that we don't end up keeping. What if you make this vow and circumstances outside of yourself hinder you from keeping it? And you had every intention of keeping it. That's why God says you're a fool. Just let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Now, if something like that does happen, you didn't swear. You didn't swear. I swear by my life. The best we can do is just keep our word. That's what God expects of us. That's what God wants. That's why He said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. We need to say or mean what we say and perform what we said we would do. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Just mean what you say and do what you said you were going to do. It's that simple. If you tell someone something, do it. Do it. I mean, that's so oftentimes why I stick almost everything in my calendar. If I tell someone I'm going to meet them, I have to put it in here because I will forget. Hands down, I've done it before. I'm going to meet someone, and I'm getting a phone call. As soon as I see the number, I'm like, no, I forgot. You know, that quick panic comes over you. You're like, ah, I hate that, but I have to put it in here because I'll forget if not. Even still, sometimes I check with my wife. I'm like, hold on, let me check. She's better at that stuff than me. So when we mean what we say and do what we said we're going to do, that's what being salt and light looks like. In contrast to the undependability of the lost man. We're in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verse 13 through 16. We shouldn't, a lot of Christians get upset because lost people do wicked things. I mean, lost people are going to do what lost people do. We need to understand that. Don't expect more of them than we should. Expect more of saved people, but lost people are going to do what lost people do. So we shouldn't be lumped in that category. We should be different. We should be, like the Bible says, we should be salt and light. Salt is a preservative and an irritant. You know it's an irritant because if you've ever gotten it in a cut or something, you're like, you're like, that thing's stinging. You can feel it. But it's also, in these days, it was used as a preservative. They pour it all over their food, meat, to keep it from rotting. Because they didn't have refrigeration like we do today. And that's what we're to be. We're to be a preservative. We're the salt of the earth. I mean, we're preserving. God's hand of judgment is stayed, I believe, on our nation because of the righteous Christians that are still here. I praise God. It's because of righteous Christians that God's hand has not just fallen down on us and His judgment dropped. Because we're a preservative. But we're also to be an irritant. Irritate people. Not to, we're like that we're annoying, not in a sense like that, but that we're pointing them to Christ. We're pointing out their sin, and that's where the light part comes in as well. People don't like light on their sin. If you've ever, you know, been in a bar, hopefully if you've not, don't ever go into one, but they're always dark. They're always dark. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So it's not seen, so light's not put on it. And that's just what they do. That's how it is. Sin enjoys the darkness. So when we are to be that light, we're shining in that darkness. You ever had someone shine a light in your eyes at night? And you're just like, ah, get that. Man, your eyes have to adjust. It's an irritant. That's what we're to be. Different. Stand out. I mean, if it's a pitch dark room and a light pops on, man, the light stands out. It's different from everything else. That's what we're to be, and that's what it means when we just, our yay is yay and our nay is nay. We're being salt and light. If we truly want to stand out, then let's keep our word. Because most of the world doesn't do that. They do it when it suits them. When it doesn't suit them, they'll lie. They'll lie. And that temptation's always there. You know, lie because you're going to get a ticket or something, so you tell a lie. It's going to cost you money, so I'm going to lie. You know, I mean, how many people lie so they can collect money from the state? Happens all the time. But your integrity is going down the window. Who you are is shining out. It ultimately, again, as I said, comes down to character. Do you have it in you to keep your word? Your ability to keep your word screams at people, while the words you say over and over are only whispering. So I'm going to be there. You count on me. I promise I'll be there. And that's just like, but what you do is screaming at them because you've proven it over and over. So your words are saying, but your testimony is saying, I'm not going to be there. I'm lying to you. You can't count on me. You're like, oh, I'll be there. And that's not what they're hearing. They're like, sure you will. Like the last time, huh? Okay. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Back and forth, back and forth. Oh, I plan on be there, but if something better comes up, I won't be there. Hey, we could talk about what it means to be a church member. Commit to this body. You're committing, you're saying, I'm going to be a part of this body. Or are you part of it? And everybody here I know is. But remember that in the future as the future comes, because you gave your word. Be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. We don't want people to be members here that don't want to be here. If someone doesn't want to be here, I mean, I want them to want to be here. So if you don't want to be here, I want you to want it. But if you really don't want to, then don't. Don't be. I want you to want to, but don't be. In Genesis 18, verses 17 to 19, Abraham's actions were screaming and had proven that he was trustworthy. His actions, his past actions were screaming out, you can count on me. This is when the Lord comes to him and tells him about what's going to happen at Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. And it says in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Get this. Here's what God says about him because of what he had done already. His testimony was saying something. His testimony was screaming. Here's what he says, verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. His testimony told him that's what's going to happen. Is your testimony screaming, you can count on me? You can count on me. If you must swear for someone to believe you, it's likely because you're already untrustworthy, or as the Bible says, evil. Again, Matthew 5, let's look at verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Get this, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So if you have to swear for someone to believe you, it's because you're already untrustworthy, or as the Bible says, evil. Cometh of evil. That it cometh from evil means that it proceeds from some evil disposition or purpose. And from this we may learn, as Albert Barnes says, I'm going to read through this, just bear with me. It says, number one, that profane swearing is always the evidence of a depraved heart. To trifle with the name of God or with any of his works is itself most decided proof of depravity. It's showing your heart's not right. If your yea isn't yea and your nay, nay. If you have to take to swearing so that people will believe you, there's a problem. It cometh of evil, the Bible says. Number two, that no man is believed any sooner in common conversation because he swears to a thing. When we hear a man swear to a thing, it's pretty good evidence that he knows what he is saying to be false. And we should be on our guard. Look, if someone says, I swear you can believe me. It's like, why is he so like adamant about this? Really? It's just the antenna should just be popping up. The siren should be going, you know, wait a minute, watch out with this guy. Why is he so adamant about this? There was a statement I heard a preacher say. You know, and we do have to defend truth, but he said, you know, a lie will go around the world 20 times and truth is still putting its boots on. We have to be the dispensers of that truth. That's why it's so important we're salt and light. But look, the truth will just stand. If you present it, the truth stands. You can't knock the truth down. Okay, the world has assaulted Christianity and Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's truth. He ain't going anywhere. I promise you he's not. There's no contradictions in this book. You can't disprove it because it's truth. Truth will just stand there. So we do have a duty to present it, to put truth forward. But there's no need for us to have to swear about it. If it's true, it's true. Just let the truth stand. You don't have to get all huffy-puffy about it. I mean, that's why when someone just starts getting all mad and crazy and angry and yelling and screaming, I swear, oh, you can believe me, or whatever they want to say, man, so the guard should go up and say, wait a minute, why is this guy so adamant about this? So when we hear a man swear to a thing, it's pretty good evidence that he knows what he was saying is to be false, and we should be on our guard. He that will break the third commandment, which is taking God's name in vain, because you swear by God's name, taking his name in vain, will not hesitate to break the ninth also, bearing false witness. So if you're willing to use God's name in vain, you definitely have no problem lying, bearing false witness, or as it said right here, forswearing thyself. You got no problem with that. None whatsoever. Probably lying's probably the number one sin in the world, would be my guess, is lying. Bearing false witness, number one sin, hands down. I could be wrong on that. God may correct me on that. So a man that's willing to take God's name in vain won't hesitate to break the ninth commandment also. And this explains the fact that profane swears are seldom believed. I mean, how often do you swear someone that just is always swearing? Oh, I swear. You're like, yeah, right. Here we go again, this guy. Here we go again, this girl. Give me a break. No one believes them. Why? Because that's what their testimony's proven time and time again. It doesn't matter what they say. You can't believe them. Because their words are whispering, but their testimony's screaming. I'm a liar! Don't believe me! The man who is always believed is he whose character is beyond suspicion in all things, who obeys all the laws of God, and whose simple declaration, therefore, is enough. A man that is truly a Christian and leads a Christian life does not need oaths and profaneness to make him believed. Why? Because he's beyond suspicion in all things. He lives a life of integrity. That's why. So you could trust that person. You know, what a shame that so many people, I've heard this testimony of people that they've said, you know, I won't call, you know, these people advertise, and you don't really do the yellow pages anymore, but it used to be, oh, Christian owned and all this stuff. And a lot of people say, I'll never do business with like Christian owned anything, because they just are crooks. That's like the guy that's always, I swear you can trust me. Because they're just using it because they're untrustworthy. So they just throw out, oh, we're Christian. They stamp Christian on it, and there we go. It's got some authority to it, and you can believe me, you can count on me. And the testimony is that people are like, I won't do business with someone that says they're a Christian business for whatever it may be, Christian-owned business. And I'm not saying that's all of them, but how sad that that's the testimony that's out there. Why? Because that's like the man that's willing to, you know, take God's name in vain is also willing to lie. But a man who's characters beyond suspicion in all things, who obeys all the laws of God, his simple declaration is enough. Number three, it's no mark of a gentleman to swear. The most worthless and vile, the refuse of mankind, the drunkard and the prostitute swear, as well as the best dressed and educated gentleman. So it's no mark of a gentleman to swear by something. No particular endowments are requisite to give a finish to the art of cursing. The basest and meanest of mankind swear with as much tact and skill as the most refined. And he that wishes to degrade himself to the very lowest level of pollution and shame should learn to be a common swearer. Any man has talents enough to learn to curse God and his fellow men, and to pray for every man who swears, prays that God would sink him and others into hell. No profane man knows but that God will hear his prayer and send him to the regions of woe. Pretty strong language right there. Number five, God will not hold the profane swearer guiltless. Wantonly to profane his name, to call his vengeance down, to curse him on his throne, to invoke damnation, is perhaps of all offenses the most awful. And there is not in the universe more cause of amazement at his forbearance than that God does not rise in vengeance and smite the profane swearer at once to hell. Verily, in a world like this, where his name is profaned every day and hour and moment by thousands, God shows that he is slow to anger and that his mercy is without bounds. And praise God for that. Praise God that he's slow to anger and his mercy has no bounds. But there's so many that profane his name, that will swear an oath and use God's name and bring him down. It means nothing. You can't count on them. You can't rely on what they say. Don't let that be said of us. Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For anything more than that, he says, these cometh of evil. You're evil. You're evil. Just if you have the integrity and your life backs it up, that when you say something, people can count on it, that's all you need. That's the best thing right there. That's the best thing. And that's what we need to do. That's how we need to live. Are you trustworthy? Do people take your word as your bond, or are they uncertain of what to expect from you? They never know if they can count on you or not. If you find yourself swearing so people will believe you, the Bible says it comes from evil. If you're failing to keep your word, ask God to help you build trustworthiness. That's what we need to do. He gave us these instructions to help us, not condemn us. So go to Him and ask Him, God, help me let my communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. I don't want to speak evil. Don't forswear yourself. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne. Lord, help us not swear. So we need to go to Him and ask Him. Lord, help me be a person of integrity and someone whose word means something. That when people look at me, they say, well, if He told you that, you can count on it. If she told you that, that's what's going to happen. Let that be our testimonies. And let's seek God's help in that.